NPR.
Some people are lucky to figure out what they're passionate about when they're really young. And for Ronald Michel, it was dance.
I've been dancing since I was very young because my parents, I used to see them dance salsa, bachata, all the different styles. And I was introduced to music and kind of fell in love with that.
And when Ronald, aka Ronnie Boy, first discovered TikTok, he found a place to share that love with the world. For the past couple of years, he's been posting videos of these fun, funky dance routines, sometimes multiple videos a day. And for Ronnie, all that dancing and posting has started to pay off. Last year, he says he made about $45,000 from video views and brand deals.
So what's really fun about me being an influencer is the fact that I get to do what I love every single day and still at the same time make it a successful thing for me to make it be a living.
From the outside looking in, being a professional social media influencer can seem kind of like a dream job. But as we've been talking to influencers for our series this week, we've also learned that, kind of like a regular schmegular J-O-B, the influencer life has its downsides. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Adrian Ma.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, we will hear from a few folks who are deep in the world of influencer marketing, who get candid about some of the pitfalls of the job. And we'll learn why influencing isn't always sunshine and brand deals.
Can you just like start off by introducing yourself?
Yeah, my name's Lydia Keating. I'm a content creator, or if you'd like to call it an influencer, but I prefer the term content creation. It just seems like a little more respectable.
We reached out to Lydia because online she's been pretty transparent about the ups and downs of making money as a social media creator. She's what you'd call a fitness and lifestyle influencer. So her videos touch on everything from exercise and diet to fashion and travel.
I'm usually based out of Rhode Island, although I'm kind of a bit nomadic right now, and I'm currently in Austria.
Are you over there for work or vacationing?
Kind of both, and that's always kind of a weird thing in my life now that, like, anytime I decide, oh, I want to do something for fun, it gets tangled up with, like, oh, and that could also be, like, a really good content opportunity.
And this turns out to be one of the first downsides of influencing. When your lifestyle is your brand, the line between work and life get blurred.
It's almost like every day you're getting a performance review from your boss.
That sounds a little rough. Okay.
Yeah. And your boss is 1.7 million strangers.
1.7 million is the number of followers Lydia has on TikTok, by the way. And anytime she can check on how many people watched her videos, for how long, how many liked them, Lydia says it can be stressful if she thinks about it too much.
The grand paradox of it all is that if I do get a video that does, well, you know, gets over 100,000 views, that just means that there will be an onslaught of hate comments, because the more views it gets, the more people have, like, hateful opinions. Even if it's 1,000 really wonderful, nice, sweet comments and then just one nasty one, like, the nasty one feels so loud.
Invariably, she says, a lot of those trolly remarks focus on her appearance.
Because my body is, like, on display on the internet so much, like, I'm kind of forced to constantly, like, think about it.
Do you think that's healthy?
No, I don't. I really don't. I don't think it's healthy at all. But the way I kind of rationalize it in so much of this career is a lot of people's jobs aren't, there are parts of their jobs that aren't healthy for them. So it's, you win some, you lose some.
So these are just a couple of the ways that making a living as an influencer can affect your mental health. But that hasn't stopped influencing from becoming a sort of aspirational career for more and more younger people. We mentioned a survey earlier this week, which found that 1 in 4 Gen Z folks say they want to be a professional influencer.
But if everyone's going to be an influencer, then who are they influencing? And that's my problem is that the market is going to get oversaturated.
Charlotte Stavrou runs an influencer marketing agency in the UK called 7-6. And she's also got opinions on what aspiring influencers ought to know about this industry.
I do worry that so many people want to become professional influencers and not, you know, a doctor or, you know, a health professional in general, or, I don't know, a lawyer. And as much as influencers can be paid a lot of money, and I see it every day, one of them's probably a bit better for your mental health.
I don't know, Darian. I know a couple doctors and lawyers who might disagree.
Right.
But Charlotte's point is that the competition for eyeballs among influencers is real.
One thing I would say about being an influencer is there comes a point where it's not as fun as it was. So at the beginning, when you start off, you get invited to lots of events, you get lots of things gifted to you for free, you're, you know, the hot ticket of the moment sometimes, and it's very exciting. But then when someone else comes along who's also great and maybe hit a trend, then you might move over and then you're fighting to be seen as much as them.
On top of watching out for the competition, Charlotte says influencers have to watch out for companies, which don't always play it straight. Influencers are basically freelancers. And so when those companies make contracts with influencers, Charlotte says they'll sometimes try to sneak in language that gives them more bang for the buck while shortchanging the creator.
Finally, Charlotte says that influencer marketing faces the kind of problems you see elsewhere in the world, bias and prejudice.
Issues with race, ethnicity, culture, gender, ability. There's so many issues in our industry in terms of who's getting paid what.
Charlotte's agency has done surveys where they found a roughly 20% pay gap between white creators and creators of color. Some of that can be attributed to follow accounts, but a lot of the survey respondents said they believe race and ethnicity plays a role in that too.
And it just really shows that when we think about influencer content, the people that are being paid the most are young, white, able-bodied people.
One person who's experienced this pay disparity personally is Ronald Michel, Ronnie Boy, who we met at the top. So Ronnie told us about this time he and a white influencer were hired for the same marketing campaign. He says they both had about the same number of followers, but when Ronald asked that white creator how much they were getting paid, they said $1,000. And meanwhile, Ronnie says he wasn't offered any money up front, just a potential commission.
I feel like there is racism in the industry, and because of that, that makes us have to work extra hard to gain what is easily accessible to other white creators.
How do you feel about that?
Honestly, it sucks, you know? And it makes you just want to learn the game and then learn the game smart to where the game can't use me.
He's intent on overcoming the obstacles. Ronald wants to make influencing a long-term career. Lydia, on the other hand, is a little more ambivalent. She mostly enjoys the work, but eventually she'd like to transition to make a living as a writer.
The truth about this job of being a content creator is, or my version of it, it's a lonely type of work. It's just you and your phone. To be a content creator is to lack community.
That seems so ironic, though, because the definition of doing what you do is having a community, having a following,
I know,
at least.
But it's like a community that I don't even feel like I'm part of, in a way.
Influencing is a booming industry, but also a relatively young one. And with all the good, there's definitely some bad. And in that sense, maybe it's not that different from any job.
Tomorrow, we'll wrap up our time in influencer land, covering topics that we've not had time for so far, including, can we avoid influencer land altogether? Stay tuned.
This episode was produced by Corey Bridges and engineered by Catherine Silva. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. VLA is our senior producer. Kate Kincannon edits the show, and The Indicator's a production of NPR.